I don't want to talk about being dreamy because the next man, Wayne Train, Wayne Terafiti, is very dreamy.
He's
and
very
his
dreamy.
BYU rugby team is even dreamier. Is that a word? I don't know if it is. BYU defeating Utah by a substantial margin, 76-31. Wayne, how in the world do you guys continue to just dominate?
Well, you know, when you're as dreamy as we are, you just go out and take care of business, mate.
I don't. How do you keep the ladies awake, Coach? Between the looks and the accents, how do you keep? Well, do you have to beat them off with a stick?
Yeah, it's called a wife.
Indeed, it is called a wife. Wayne Terafiti, assistant coach to the BYU men's rugby team. Wayne, look, this is more of a joke. Take it as a lighthearted banter. But I have never seen, and I want to know if you have ever seen, a Caucasian look intimidating during the haka? Because I haven't.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is, actually I have. This little guy from South Africa, he played for us. He graduated about 3 years ago. So in South Africa, he's seen the haka done. And now he had a chance here at BYU to actually do the haka. So he came up to me as we decided as a team that this is what we're going to do. I said to him, listen, we either all do it or we don't. And so the team agreed we're all going to do it. So this fellow's name was Dylan Luba. He came up to me and said, hey, listen, I'm from South Africa. I've seen the haka done, but this is the first time I'm going to actually get to do it, and I want to do it. It's all or nothing. So, man, for the 5 years he played rugby for us, he was one dude that could seriously get down and haka, man, because he knew what he was doing. He understood the importance of it, and he took no prisoners when it came to the haka, man, little Dylan Mooper. There's a few other guys here that aren't too bad. You know, the key is really being is they can understand what the haka is about and what mm-hmm. they're doing. And so when I teach them the haka, I teach them to say the words first, and they understand what they're saying. And then the actions will come after that, because the argument can always be, well, you know, what are these little Palangi kids doing in the haka? And I say to them, listen, you got taught properly, so do it properly. Because when I see the haka done and it's a bit of a disaster, I don't blame the guys doing it. I blame the guy that taught them.
Coach, I wish you would have been around when we did it back in 06, 07-ish, mm-hmm. because I definitely did not look intimidating.
That's the problem, man. I looked at myself doing the haka one time. I mean, I felt like we had some pretty good teachers, but like I tried to get like a snarl face going. And it's just like it doesn't work for me. I ended up going cross-eyed, and I just get my crow's feet going. I don't look very.
We didn't have any natives teaching us though.
We didn't.
Our guys had been a little too Americanized. I feel like we needed a coach here.
We needed Coach Terafiti. That's the reason why we didn't look intimidating. Hey, you look intimidating. And I want to give a special shout out to you, Wayne, and your family. Your daughter recently returned home from a mission, and the haka that you and your family members performed for your daughter, very inspiring. It brought a tear to my eye, and I shared that on my Facebook. And I had people around the country, LDS, non-LDS, that were moved and inspired by it.
Well, I certainly appreciate it. You know, it was funny because at home you do that when missionaries leave and when they come home. And my parents are actually here. They just finished their fourth mission. And when we were on our way to the airport, my mother gave the instruction. She said, here's what's going to happen. And I said, we're not in New Zealand, Mum. She goes, here's what's going to happen. And so as it happened, man, it turned out, and it was an awesome night. My kids, although they've sort of lived most of their lives here in the States, they both used to go to Māori Total Immersion School, so they both used to speak the language too. So they knew the significance of that evening. I had a few of the boys from the rugby team come up and support us that night. It was a great night, man. I appreciate it, and it's just good to have it home.
Let's break down this BYU-Utah matchup. What went right for the Cougs in this game? How did you guys get out to an early lead and stay ahead?
You know, we have two milestones each season. The first one is always the Wasatch Cup against the University of Utah. The second one, if we're successful enough, is to try and win another national championship. But Saturday's game was always a big deal for us. And Utah have played some incredible rugby, and then they've been off on other days. And we weren't too sure which Utah team we were going to catch on Saturday. The fact that it was up there at the U suggested that they were going to be a tough opponent. So we prepared well. But we knew that if we got our set piece down, our scrums and our lineouts down, then we would allow our back line to fire. And our back line, when they go, man. So we got out and took care of business. It was a great day.
It was a great day, and it got a little bit heated. I don't know what happened with Johnny Lingo Linehan, but they seemed to go after him a little bit. How did that all occur, and who was it that stood up for Johnny? It seems like you can get a little bit more physical in rugby when that occurs, and you don't get penalized. Why is that?
Well, you know, I think in the heat of the moment, you know, it's a typical BYU-Utah rivalry. Man, we could be playing marbles against each other. It's gonna be a 10. You know, and so it was Joe Piccola. Joe Piccola is one of the biggest fellows on our team. And when you're a brotherhood and you seriously want to play for each other, then you protect each other, you know. And so it got a little heated, which is typical before these games. But it was cool after it, but you're going to stick up for each other. And, yeah, you know, if it goes down, it's going to go down. We're all in. It's all or nothing, man.
Coach, how heated does it get? I know you just alluded to it and with the marbles comment, but I think everybody's familiar with the football game. They're familiar with the basketball game. But what's it like down on the field when you're getting ready to play that rugby game and during the game? What's the rivalry like down there?
Yeah, it's, you know, we have a genuine respect for each other because we know that rugby isn't the main sport at either or school, but it's still BYU versus Utah, so. Funnily enough, after every game for the 10 years I've been there, we actually go and eat together after that. So once the game is done, it's done. And the rivalry is as heated as any other rivalry. But when it's done, we actually respect each other enough to sort of sit down and break bread, man, and talk about the game and sort of go on our way from there. A lot of people don't realize that, and they look at us crazy. You do what? I said, yeah, we host them for dinner after the game. We sit down, have a meal, and talk about rugby because the game of rugby is bigger than our rivalry.
Wayne Terafiti, assistant coach to the BYU men's rugby team, on with us here, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. Who was the MVP of this game for the Cougs?
In my humble opinion, because I coached the forwards, was actually one of the – we have a set of senior locks that play there, Dan Hubert and Kyle Montine. Those guys have been consistently good all year round. And so they were solid again on Saturday. But our number 7, Otto Elkington, who actually is from New Zealand, was on a tear on Saturday. Man, he was taking advantage of everything. Scored 2 tries, and this fellow he'll crack you, man. You run at him, he will crack you.
I love that physicality. It seems like those are the guys that set the tone for this huge victory. How do you get these guys hyped up before a game to employ that physicality versus their opponents?
You know, what we do is, especially when it's the Utah game, St. Mary's or Cal, that we know that we're going to be pushed to our limits. Part of it really is just getting our heads right. We've got to trust that what we've trained all during the week and for most of the season, we've got to trust that what we've done is the right stuff. Then we just have to get mentally prepared. So, you know, we allow our guys to figure out where they are mentally, find that spot 10 minutes before we warm up as a team. And then from there, it's just all on. It's just business, man. I mean, we're proud of what we've been able to accomplish. We take our club and our university seriously. So we don't have guys that come up and try to pretend like they're rugby players. If you're on the team, you're on the team. So you've earned it. So you got to play like you deserve to be on there.
Coach, tell us what the rest of the season looks like. You guys opened up strong. You guys are sitting, what, at 9-0 right now?
We're 9-0, man.
You just you probably can't say it, but you just kicked the crap out of your rivals. But what does it look like the rest of the year, and what are you guys set up for?
We've got a couple of in-state games this week. We've got a Wednesday night game and a Saturday game just really to and the University, UVU is who we play Wednesday night, and Utah State is who we play on Saturday. A couple of teams that are sort of growing in their program, and they're decent little teams, and it's the run that we need. And then if we do well enough against those guys, will look forward to the playoffs. We have a bye on the first round, and then we'll play either Air Force or UCLA in the quarterfinals, whichever team comes out on top there. Now, it's quite possible that we could meet the University of Utah again in the semifinals if they win their way through the bracket. We could play them again in the semifinals back here at Southfield, so it's looking pretty good. We just gotta stay healthy and stay mentally focused, and The goal is to get back to a national championship game and then to handle our business in a national championship game.
The great thing is with those two wins versus St. Mary's, you are unquestionably, if you guys do make it to the national championship and you guys do win another one, unquestionable national champions here in the United States of America for collegiate rugby. I love it, man. And we're excited about BYU rugby. I think you're gaining even more momentum with the way that you guys win, the way that you guys play, and the elite level at which you guys, you know, take the game and these matchups to another to the next level, like I said. So, Wayne Train, appreciate you coming on with us. Look forward to doing it again.
Gentlemen, thank you very much, man. We always appreciate you guys giving us some love on the radio. You guys are always welcome to come down here. Jan, good luck in your next fight, man.
I appreciate it.
Maybe you should teach Jan how to do the haka before his fight.
No. I know.
Hey, Jan doesn't need the haka, man. He's intimidating enough as it is.
With that well-manicured beard and bald head, and he is very, very intimidating. Wayne, thanks for coming on with us.
I appreciate it, fellas. Take care, man.